Welcome to the Calvary Community Church Podcast. For more content and information about Calvary, please visit our website at calvaryhouston.com.
Father, I just ask that the words you've been stirring in me and thinking in me and speaking to me about, Lord, God, that the words of life that you've been energizing my life with, Lord, that you would pass that on, Lord. You would impart that to the hearts and the minds and the spirit, Lord, of your people in this place of Calvary. Would you give us an impartation today, Lord, from your word through your spirit, that we might be the prophetic people that you're looking for in the earth in the last days? And I ask this in the glorious name, Jesus, our Savior, our soon coming King. Amen and amen. All right. We've taught over the years a very important principle about faith, that faith exists on a spectrum between short-term wonder and long-term fidelity. Short-term wonder and long-term fidelity, the spectrum of faith. Something, and you can read the last few paragraphs of Hebrews 11. It gives you a perfect illustration of this. I'm not going to take time to talk about that. But short-term wonder to long-term fidelity. And the short-term wonder part of faith is when God answers prayer. You know, somebody gets healed, or you get the word that you need, or some kind of answer to prayer comes and you get a new job or whatever it is. Or, you know, short-term wonder, it's like you prayed something, you needed something, and God was there and he did it for you right then, and you're praising God. Short-term wonder, that's a part of faith, an important part of faith, that we experience the ongoing activity and power and presence and promises of God, that his word is true today as it always has been. God answers prayer, short-term wonder. And then that stretches all the way over, again, all the places in between that, to long-term fidelity. And long-term fidelity is, even when you don't see God doing anything, you stay faithful to him. You continue to be a believer. You continue to stay in the work. You continue to be what God wants you to be. You have fidelity established in you, and that is a part of the life of faith. And one of the characteristics of this kind of faith I want to talk about today, and that is waiting on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord. What does it mean to actually wait on the Lord? I'm not sure we really get that, and so I want to take a little dive into it that the Lord's been stirring in my own heart, in my own life lately. Waiting on the Lord, what is it? How do we do it? And so I want us to look at the text in Psalm chapter 33, verse 20, one verse here, Psalm 33, 20. It says, "We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield." We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Now, we do our Propel conference, sometimes two conferences a year, where I spend the whole day teaching on the return of the Lord, which we believe we're in very important generations, and that we should be looking up and listening and paying attention, because God is preparing the earth for the return of his Son. We believe that. And we want to encourage that belief. And so we teach a couple of conferences a year about that. The one I just did, at the end of it, I was talking about Abraham and Sarah and talking about this long-term fidelity part of faith. And Abraham and Sarah, of course, he's the father of our faith. And if you have to go back and know their story, they're the one through whom Isaac is born. He's going to be the line of the Messiah through whom Jesus Christ is going to come. He's a model of Jesus, the sacrifice on where Abraham sacrificed him, but the Lord stops him and provides a ram. It's like he has a lot of important things about his life that are messianic, that picture or pre-picture the coming of Jesus. So they have this promise, you're going to have the lineage of the Messiah. And so they're like 90 years old and they don't have a kid. And God comes along and says, you're going to have a kid. Now, they're 90-year-olds, right? You're going to have a kid. So first of all, it's like, wow, okay, we're going to believe you, God. We're going to be people of faith, so let's have a kid. Do you know from the time of that promise till Isaac was born, it was 13 years. you're going to have a kid. He's going to be the Messiah's going to come through him. And they're kind of like 90, 91, 92, 95, 97. It's like, Lord, don't you think we should get on with this? It's like, talk about waiting on the Lord. I mean, this is a waiting that's like, oh my gosh, how much longer can we wait? At 100, they have Isaac. So here's the baby. And they just thought the waiting was the hard part. Now you got 100-year-olds with a baby. 102, 103, toddler. It's like, Sahoy and I, as we got age and our kids are gone, and we got some games, we talked about maybe we could adopt a child, and we thought, you know, we would put the kid down and forget where we put it. It's like, this is not going to work out well for the child if we do that. Did you feed the baby? What baby? You know, the one we adopt? Oh, yeah. No, I didn't do that. Me either. It's like, not going to work out well where we are in life. So here's Abraham and Sarah now waiting 13 years at that age for a baby. That's got to be a tough assignment of faith. And then they have the baby, and it didn't get any easier just because the waiting was over. It got harder, I would suspect. So waiting on the Lord is tricky business, right? It's not always like we think it is. But the Lord's been speaking to me about this, about how it needs to sit in us, how waiting needs to sit in us, how it needs to work in us, how it needs to actually live in us, because it's a living thing, as we're going to see in just a moment. But we need to kind of throw out some of our ideas when we feel like, man, I'm waiting on the Lord. You go back and look at some of the biblical stories, and we get the high points of those stories, and we forget about the years in between. It's not abnormal. That is normal. But we so think, well, maybe God's not working, or maybe God's not doing it. It's like, God is way different. His timing is way different than ours. We just don't get it. But waiting, how do we do that biblically, like God tells us to, like the psalmist is talking about? We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shields. Now, I want to address two realities of what it means, just two realities of what it means to wait. What does it actually mean to wait in a biblical sense? And a little bit of how do we wait? How does this happen in our lives? Because a lot of times we say we're waiting on the Lord, and we're really not. We say something in a way that we think of it in the common current context of things. It's like, it's not biblical waiting. Biblical waiting is something very real and very different. And so I'm going to give you two statements. And the first one reminds me actually of probably my favorite riddle of all time. So if you know the answer, don't say it. Let people think about it. Here's one of my favorite riddles of all times. What can go up a chimney down but can't go down a chimney up? Right? Now raise your hand if you know the answer. You really got it. So you can raise your hand, because I'm not going to call on you. So you can say, okay. There's a couple of people who've got it. You've probably been at some of my retreats, haven't you guys? Okay. What can go up a chimney down but can't go down a chimney up? It's a very simple answer. An umbrella. Right? It can go up a chimney down, but it can't go down a chimney up. Got it? Great. Okay. So point number one about biblical waiting. We wait in hope for the Lord. That's going to fit, I promise you. Or we're going to have story time with Mo. He is our help. And who said, yeah, wait a minute. It's my story time. I'm kidding. I liked her story time. Okay, here's point number one. What does it mean? How do we wait on the Lord? Number one, God's help comes from the inside up, not just the outside down. God's help comes from the inside up, not just the outside down. I was going to do PowerPoint slide, but I thought, just two slides. Number one, write that down. God's help comes from the inside up, not just the outside down. God rules and reigns, right? He's sitting on the throne of heaven. He has power and authority. And sometimes we cry out to him on this short-term wonder end, God, heal me. And you're healed. Or you pray for someone for healing and they're healed. It's an easy example, because we've got lots of examples of that, miraculous healings we can tell. It's like sometimes God does that, and he comes from the outside down, right? His heavenly home, his throne, he declares something for earth, and it happens. His will is done. I mean, you go all the way back to creation. Let there be light, there was light. Outside down, the throne of God, earthly realm, it happens. That's the way faith operates, or one of the ways that faith operates. But God's help not only comes from the outside down, which is typically the way we think of it working. When I need God's help, I want him to do something from outside of me to come down and to help me. You know, maybe you need a job, or you need something to happen in your life, or you need your marriage restored, or you need wisdom and how do you help one of your kids that's going through a hard time. And so you're asking God for wisdom or instruction or whatever it is. Or, you know, we're asking God to give us something, like hand something down from heaven for us. So that is purely true, one of the ways God's worked, outside down. But he also works from the inside up. And we miss this a lot in the waiting part. This is important to waiting, that God is not just the God who's sitting on the throne of the universe, ruling and reigning. God is also the very ground and source of our being. In fact, another word you might want to use, he's the origin of our being. He's where it all comes from, right? When we think about beauty, think about anything beautiful in the world, a sunset or a scenery or a person or whatever, like, they're beautiful. Listen, God is not just the creator of beauty, he's the origin of beauty. He's where beauty comes from. He's where goodness comes from, righteousness, peace, joy, right? This is the kingdom of God, Romans 14, 17, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. He's the source of joy. He's the origin of joy. So when we think about God helping us, sometimes outside down, thank God he's answered our prayer, it's done, we love it, it happens. But sometimes we're asking God to help us, we're waiting, it doesn't seem like he is, but actually he's already at work and we're missing it because we're not recognizing he's working from the inside up. Acts chapter 17, Paul's great sermon on Mars Hill, verse 25, he said, God gives us life, he gives all men life and breath and everything else. Origin, source. Right? I mean, where else does your breath come from? It comes from God, the Bible says. Where does your life come from? He gives us life and breath and everything else. Your life is issuing out of God. You have a connection. He's the light that lights every man, John says in John 1. God is wanting to come through us into this world. I'm not getting into born again, not born again. That's another topic for another day. But some people are dead to God, right? Talks about us being dead in our spirits. People are dead without Christ. But when you're alive, I'm talking to us as believers. If you're here as a believer today, you're connected to the source of life and breath and everything else. You're connected. You have been brought into that relationship with him. And he gives you life and breath and everything else. Or in verse 28, Acts 17, Paul says, in him we live and move and have our being. I mean, what do you do with a verse like that? You just fall down and worship, right? I mean, what else can you do? You just get on your face and say, God, I don't get it, but you're awesome, right? You just bow down and you worship. In him we live and move and have our being. So God's important as a source, as the ground, as the origin of whatever it is we need or asking for, whatever we're waiting for, he's going to be the origin of it. He's going to be the source of it. Psalm 27, I'll give you a couple of other examples of waiting. Psalm 27, 14, wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. How do we wait for the Lord? How does it work? Wait for the Lord. Be strong. I go back to our original text. We wait and hope for the Lord, for he is our help. Sometimes he helps us not by doing a miracle or a healing or whatever. Sometimes he helps us by making us strong on the inside. Right? Be strong. God likes this. In fact, I wish we had time. You get to the end of the story, the book of Revelation, when everything's wrapping up, and you find the people that don't qualify for the kingdom of heaven. He gives a list of people that they're not going to qualify. They're not going to fit in my kingdom. The first people he says are the cowards. Wow, we better learn some strength on the inside, some courage, right? That's what I use in my four C's, one of those courage. We've got to have it. And God is the origin of it. God is the source of it. Wait for the Lord, Psalm 27:14. Be strong. He helps us from the inside. He gives us strength to go on, gives us strength to act, gives us strength to endure, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 9, where Paul is talking about that thorn in the flesh. God, remove it. God, remove it. Short-term wonder. I got faith for it. God says, well, yeah, you got faith for it, but I'm not going to give it to you. Because I want to teach you about the other end of faith. That is, I want you to learn how that my strength can be made perfect in you. Your connection with me can make you strong to endure what you don't think you can endure. What you don't think is possible, God can make it possible. We're waiting on the Lord. God, do this. God, do this. God, do this. And sometimes he's like, I'm already doing something. Will you receive my strength? Be strong. Wait on the Lord. Be strong. And let your heart take courage. It says it right there in Psalm 27:14. He is our shield. That's the second part of our text, Psalm 33:20. He's our help. God can make us strong. That's how he can help us inside up, not just outside down. He can make us strong. So he is our help, and he is our shield. Second part of Psalm 27:14, let your heart take courage. Sometimes we think about his shield, he keeps some bad things from happening or whatever it is. He puts a shield around us. Sometimes that shield comes from the inside. It feels like courage. You have courage to face what you need to face, to do what you need to do, to have the conversation you need to have, to make the surrender you need to make, the commitment you need to choose, to lead a group or whatever. Courage. It takes courage to do that. Where do you get it? Wait on the Lord. I'm asking you for it. And he comes from the inside up, not just the outside down. That is waiting on the Lord. Another example, inside up, not just outside down. If you go back to our original text, Psalm 33:20, the Passion translates it, Passion Translation does a really good job of this. It says, the Lord alone is our radiant hope as we trust in him with all our hearts. His wraparound presence will strengthen us. Boy, you can really hear the inside up there, can't you? God, it says, the Lord alone is our radiant hope. Waiting is defined as radiant hope. So it's not just some, oh man, we got to wait, and how long is this going to take, Lord? Where are you? Why aren't you? It's a radiant hope in you. God's promised something. God said he's going to do something. God has a promise in his word for you. There's a radiant hope that begins to happen from the inside of you. You're hoping, and that hope makes you live, makes you endure, gives you courage, takes you on. That's what waiting on the Lord does for us. With radiant hope, it says in the Passion Translation, Psalm 33:20, and we trust in him with all our heart. There's the help. I trust him. You're at peace even in the midst of the turmoil. You have security even in the midst of the confusion. I trust him. God, I trust you. Get me through this. So you're waiting, but the source is he's building trust in you. And it's giving you hope. It's taking you on. And then he gets to the shield part in the Passion Translation. His wraparound presence. Now we're thinking shield, wraparound presence. Outside, he's protecting us from the outside in. His wraparound presence does what it says? Strengthens us. It does something from the inside up. Makes you strong. Helps you endure. Helps you to be faithful. Helps you to be fully his in every way. Another example. Inside up, not outside down. Last one. Psalm 62, verse 5 and 6. Psalm 62, verse 5 and 6. My soul, wait in silence for God only, for my hope is from him. So there's the wait. Wait in silence. It's like you're not hearing something from the outside, but you're waiting. There's this active hope. There's this radiant connection with the source of life. And then you get the help in the shield part, verse 6. He is my rock and my salvation. That sounds like help, doesn't it? He gives me a firm place to stand, to ground my life, to root. No matter what storms are blowing, no matter what's shaking, I'm grounded and rooted like a tree with deep roots. Yeah, the wind blows. Yeah, I'm a little crazy on the outside, but I know down deep my soul, it's okay. All is well, and all manner things of well, and always will be well, because he is my God. Like Paul says, hey, to be absent from the body is present with the Lord. I prefer that to staying here. It's like you can't lose, right? If you're rooted, if you're grounded, if you're getting your help from the inside up, from the source of life and breath and everything else, you don't ever lose that in God. So he's our help. He goes on, Psalm 62, 5 and 6, verse 6. He says, he's my rock and my salvation. There's our help. He makes us strong. My stronghold, and I shall not be shaken. There's the shield part. It's like you're not shaken. You don't quiver. You don't fear. You don't fall apart. You're stable, even though things are, you're waiting and you don't see the outward changing, the inward is changing. That's what waiting on the Lord does. God's help comes sometimes outside in, I mean, you know, upside in, out, and sometimes inside up, but it's always God. Either way he comes. Point number two, waiting on the Lord is grounded in expectancy. Waiting on the Lord is grounded in expectancy. So again, the idea of waiting on the Lord, it's not a passive thing. It's an active, expectant waiting. We're not twiddling our thumbs. There's something active happening here. Psalm 37, verse 34, Psalm 37, 34, wait for the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you will see it. So you hear the expectancy in that? Wait in the Lord and keep his way. In other words, there's an activity in waiting. Stay aligned. Stay plugged in. Stay attuned. Stay available. Stay active. It's like if we're not doing those things, we're not really waiting on the Lord. We're just twiddling our thumbs. There is something in waiting that has an active aligning in our lives. Staying, you might just sum it up by saying, stay surrendered to God. You're waiting on something. You don't see it yet, but waiting, stay surrendered. And again, all those words, available, aligned, active, are important in surrenders. And it's not, waiting in the Lord is not, well, when he shows up, then I'll straighten up and fly right. You know, it's kind of waiting. Well, when God's, when I see him getting here, then I'm going to get right. I'm going to start doing what I ought to do, or I'm going to start plugging in like I ought to plug, or I'm going to get back up and go to work, or I'm going to, when I see, that's not biblical waiting. Biblical waiting is active. It's expectant. It's grounded in expectancy. That's what it does. Thank you for my slide up there. I didn't create it. Mr. Chris is just fast and furious. Thank you, sir. Psalm 33, 20, our text again. Amplified translation. Remember, amplified takes like a biblical word, like wait. And if it has other connotations to it, if the Hebrew word could be translated in a couple of different ways, it tries to give you all the ways. It kind of lists. Passion Translation does the same thing. It's basically an amplified version is what it is. It takes all the different ideas that are contained in the words and tries to show them all to you in the text. So amplified version, Psalm 33, 20, our text, says this. We wait expectantly for the Lord. He is our help and shield. It just plugs the word expectancy in there because that's actually a part of this Hebrew word. It has expectancy connected to it. It's not just waiting again where you're just doing nothing or waiting for God to do something, then you'll do something. There's this active part to it, and there's this expectant that keeps you attentive. It's not a boring thing. It's an active, expectant thing. So the word wait, the word itself in the Hebrew has expectancy as a part of its nature. It's what it's talking about. When it says wait on the Lord, it's saying expect something from God. Sometimes our waiting just gets boring, doesn't it? It's like, I'm sure in that 13 years, there's sometimes Abraham and Sarah were like, God, where are you? Waiting for the, of course, they had to have some outside down, didn't they? And it's like, no, well, maybe it's inside up too, right? Having a baby, it's an inside up kind of gift from God. But obviously there was some outside down since they were 100. Who knows? Both sides, a spectrum of faith in that promise, right? They're plugged in there. Psalm 130, verse 5 and 6. Psalm 130, verse 5 and 6. I wait for the Lord. My soul does wait, and in his word do I hope. Whew. I wait for the Lord. My soul does wait. Do you hear that? There's an engagement of your inner life, of your inner being, your heart, your soul. It's not just, I know God's promise, I believe him, and you're just kind of biding your time till it happens. There's this expectancy in it. There is this soul engagement. I wait for the Lord. My soul is waiting. It's like maybe when you have a teenager and they get their driver's license, and the day they get their driver's license, say, hey, I want to go out tonight and pick up my friends, and we're going to be out to whatever. And so you say, okay, I trust you. You're a good kid. Take the car. Go for it. Well, what are you doing as a parent? You are waiting. And trust me, this is not a board twiddling your thumbs waiting. This is a worried pacing the floor waiting, right? Your soul is active while you're waiting for that kid to get home. It's like, this is what God's talking about. Not the worry part, but the active part. Keep moving for God. This waiting, if we're waiting for the Lord, my soul does wait. You're not biding time. You're engaged. Your soul is engaged. Your heart, your faith, you're again, the active, the aligned, the surrendered. All those are really good words in this expectancy is what we're talking about. And then it says in verse 6 there, 130 verse 6, my soul waits for the Lord more than the watchman waits for the morning. Indeed, more than the watchman waits for the morning. It's easy to see the expectancy in that, isn't it? If you're on night watch, you're expecting, you're waiting, you're active, you're engaged. You're like, hurry up, morning. Maybe you're like wanting your shift to get over, or maybe it's like you got a big event coming up the next day, or whatever it is. It's not just, you know, bored sleeping the night away till the morning comes. There is this active, engaged waiting. My soul waits for the Lord more than a watchman waits for the morning. You know, when the light comes, we're safe. The enemy can't attack us in the light. It's like, yeah, okay, but while it's dark, you got to have some energy. You got to have some expectancy. You got to keep your eyes peeled. You don't just bide time again. You're engaged. You are expectant. Close with one other illustration. Isaiah 26. Well, okay, two other. Isaiah 26 and 25. Isaiah 26, verse 8. Isaiah 26, 8. Indeed, while following the way of your judgments, we have waited for you eagerly. I love that. We have waited for you. And again, what's waiting like? Eagerly. There's a desire, a holy energy in it. It's not bored. It's not just biding time. It's not just waiting in our sense of, you know, okay, when is this ever going to end? This is a waiting where you're engaged. Your soul is awake. You're exercising faith and hope and love, and you're being active at whatever you can do in your activity. We've waited for you eagerly. Isaiah 26, 8, indeed, following the way of your judgments, there's the activity again. It's like we're not just doing nothing while we wait. We're staying faithful to the word. We're staying faithful in our service. We're staying in our commitment. We're doing what God wants us to do. It's not like, God, when you start up and show up and do what I ask, then I'll do what you ask. No, you prepare the way for the Lord. You do the things that waiting is about, this expectancy and this energy of soul. While following the way of your judgments, we have waited for you eagerly. Your name, even your memory, is the desire of our souls. Again, soul's active. Desire is active. Memory is active. Your memory is a repository of your faith. You can remember things God has done, God has said, how he has led you, where he has met you, when he saved you. That's a repository of your faith and memory, and we can recall things to the Lord. How many times does the Lord tell them, you know, to set up an altar, make a pile of stones so you can remember and tell your kids what happened here? I've said it often, and I'll say it again. The Bible is not a code of ethics or morality. It is a series of happenings. What has God done? Where has he showed up? How have people related to him? We want this God. We want him to happen in our lives. And waiting is one of the ways he happens, this kind of waiting. And the last verse, 25:9, Isaiah 25:9. And it will be said in that day, it will be said in that day, behold, this is our God for whom we have waited, that he might save us. I use this verse because now we see the far end of the waiting. It will be said in that day, Behold, this is our God for whom we have waited that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. I'll just say this. None of our waiting is going to be in vain. Every hope, every promise, every jot and tittle in this book, Jesus said, none of it's going to be lost. None of it. Whatever God has done and said, whatever God has wanted and promised, whatever he has inspired our soul with, it's coming. And there will be a day when we are no longer waiting. We will say, like Isaiah says, this is the Lord for whom we have waited. Now we just get to rejoice and be glad because he has done what he said and the waiting's over. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode from Calvary Community Church Podcast. For more content and information about Calvary Community Church, please visit our website at calvaryhouston.com.